Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is wonderful.
This is wonderful. I wasn't trying to say that like I was like, said,
yeah, I mean a little
this
bit.
This is wonderful. Mm. I'm Rachel. I'm so cool. This is wonderful. Shall we talk about things we like that's good that we're into? And it's thank you so much for joining us. I'm racking my brain to think of something special to say. Is it okay to just be like, this episode's normal? But you don't ever hear that on like TV and media when the hosts of shows are like, this is a normal one.
We got a normal show for you tonight, guys.
It's going to be a show that we are used to making and you're used to hearing. Some people like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like when I watch Top Chef and they're like, today's episode's going to be crazy. Sometimes I'm like, I just wanted a normal one, you know?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Like in Restaurant Wars, it's like, this is going to be the most fucked up episode of Top Chef of the whole season. And I'm like, I just wanted a normal, can't they just cook?
I like the cooking.
And while I'm on my soapbox here, sometimes on Top Chef, they're like, today you're going to cook outside. There's bees everywhere and you can't use any cutlery at all. And it has to be a dish we can eat using just our faces and no hands.
Uh-huh.
And it's snowing and there's hungry foxes
and
all over.
Your ingredients are canned goods.
All your ingredients are canned goods and you don't get a can opener. And then they eat the food and Tom Colicchio is like, this kind of tastes bad. Yeah, Tom. Why do you think that is, Thomas?
Yeah.
This isn't up to the level of quality I expect it to be. Yeah, man. You put a bunch of funny restrictions on them, don't you think? That is part of the problem? Anyway, we're watching Top Chef right
now. Yeah, we are.
I guess that's my small wonder. We're watching Top Chef All-Stars.
Yeah.
It's a good season. A lot of good chefs.
It's like World All-Stars or something.
Yeah.
It's like Top Chef apparently airs all over the globe.
Yeah.
And so they took winners from seasons all over, and it's people from different countries.
That show has really changed. We were remarking on that when we were watching this most recent episode. It's very very posy. Very like all the folks are genuinely very sweet to each other and very kind and supportive. And Jesus, that used to not be the case.
Yeah, no, there used to be like real conflict. There was like a lot of ego and a lot of people that didn't get along and they like didn't want to work together. And you don't see that as much.
I don't remember his name. I remember there was a bald Frenchman who was on the show who was just kind of a jerk a lot of the time. And that you just don't see. You just don't see that very much, huh?
Yeah, I don't know if that's like careful casting on their part or people
chef culture has shifted a bit.
Or people understanding like I better be on my best behavior.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Anyway, that was my small wonder.
I really did.
Yeah, I snuck it in there. Is that okay?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
But what do you have to talk about?
Can I mention your gym participation?
Sure. Sure.
I have been going to the gym since April. I joined one close to our house, and I've been talking about it. I wouldn't say incessantly. I've been talking about it a reasonable amount for somebody that goes to the gym, a reasonable amount.
Yeah.
And Griffin joined me last week, and we have been twice now, and it's delightful.
It's cool. Yeah. It's very doable. We shouldn't say what gym we go to because I'm not trying to get poached out there and
poached.
Yeah, you know, like someone turned me into a rug or suit or something like that. But
I thought you meant like another gym would be like, Griffin, have we got a deal for you?
Yeah, no, I don't think I don't think they're gonna be. This isn't Moneyball. I'm not like some commodity to be traded around.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's good. I have been very it's been kind of worrying that our children have increased in energy level and ability as I have decreased in those same statistics.
Yeah.
Before my time, I would say. And so it's been nice to kind of remind myself that I can move it.
Yeah. No, it's impressive. I think you're gonna get some quick gains.
Oh, for sure. I'm already, I think, feeling it. I'm for sure fucking feeling it.
Yeah.
The soreness is truly next level. But that's weakness leaving the body, from what I understand.
Do you know who said that or where that came
from? My doctor.
I feel like you always say that to me as if it is a known quote.
And I saw don't know. It on the wall of my high school gym had like a weight room for like the football players to get stronger.
Yeah.
And I saw that painted on there. I don't know why the fuck I was in there. I didn't belong and I wasn't using it. But I saw that and I was like, wow, that's cool.
At my school, you could take weight training as a class.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
And get like a credit for
so
it.
So wild. So bonkers.
That's wild to me. They had like an inspirational saying and that was the one they chose.
Yeah. I mean, it's bonkers to me that you could take weight training as a class, but also like I took piano as a class, you know? It's uh-huh. the same. If you
and
think
I mean,
about-
you lift heavy stuff more than you play piano.
That's fair. Yeah. Especially as our boys get heavier. Again, the boys are getting so big and strong. Help. I go first this week.
Yes.
I do a song this time.
Okay.
It's a good one. I'm excited to talk about this
song. Okay.
It's a song that has become very prevalent in our household.
Oh, wait.
More so.
This could be a number of songs.
More so than any Danny Go, any Coco Melon. Any Blippi or Kids Bop or other children focused music. It is our 2-year-old's favorite song, which he requests by name frequently, several times a day at least. That song is, of course, Turned Down for What by DJ Snake and Lil Jon.
I thought for a moment you were going to do Skibbity Bop, Yes, Yes.
No, yeah, there's some. Okay, there's a. God, it's so hard to explain the internet. Sometimes, but there's like a thing called Skibbity Toilet, which is like a meme from a YouTube video, I guess. And yeah. then they made Roblox games out of it or some shit. And then every YouTuber on earth that Henry watches is all about Skibbity Toilet. And then there's a song called Skibbity Bop, Yes, Yes. I can't. This rabbit hole actually makes me tired to go down it to uh-huh. say it. I can't imagine
what it's
like. This
is like a Reply All episode right now.
Yeah, this is not what I want. This is, I want to talk about Turned Down for What by DJ Snake and Lil Jon.
Yes.
I'm not sure I appreciated this song enough in its time, and I'm glad that our son has allowed us this chance to kind of reevaluate it. Because, man, it's just a stone cold banger. Every single time.
I feel like this was, he was on the path. Because last time we talked about this, we talked about the drop and how he gets very excited about the drop.
Oh, right. Yeah, we played that clip.
Yeah. And so now we have moved to the next phase, which is he has identified specific songs that have yeah. drops that are just impossible not to love.
This, I'm going to play Turn Down for What. You've heard it a million times, but you're about to hear a million and one. It is just, this song is just kind of three drops. If you think about it as like a, you could, I love sort of imagining the line graph of this song, yeah, the like yeah. sort of sine wave pattern of Turn Down for
a
What.
Lot of times I will lose track and I'll be like, is there one left or was that the last one?
Yeah, the third one always sneaks up on me. this is a song that feels like it's been around since the dawn of time. It's hard to imagine a time in my life before Turn Down for What. Despite the fact that it came out in December 2013, which is 10 years ago. So I guess it has been out for a grip, huh? It has been out for a minute.
That came out like when we got married.
That song came out the year we got married. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, like the month we got married. If
easy to kind of lump it in with the rest of Lil Jon's body of work, right? Because Turn Down for What came out in 2013. Get Low dropped in 2003. Which is 20
Whoa.
Years ago. That feels right. Cause I remember that song really had a seismic shift impact on my high school dances when Get Low came out. Even though I remember being, let me think, 16 and hearing Till Sweat Drips Off My Balls and thinking like, I'm not ready for this. None of the people here that are listening to this are ready for this.
Excuse me, I'm going to need to leave.
I should leave. Can someone call my parents? DJ Snake is a French DJ and producer who had been buddies with Lil Jon for several years before this collab. By the way, fun mini game. Maybe not. Maybe you'll crush it. How old do you think Lil Jon is?
Ooh. 51.
52. Wow. I'm impressed.
Yeah, usually I'm not as good as that as I was just then. So
I think if I hadn't told you that Get Low came out 20 years ago, you would have undershot a bit more.
Now I'm at an age where I kind of take my own age, and I guess how old I am, this person would be, and that's how I got there.
So DJ Snake put together the beat for Turn Down For What? Before it was turned, before it had words. It was just a beat, just this amorphous, beautiful thing that existed in the artistic ether of his mind. And he sent it to Lil Jon to try and get a collaboration going. This is a quote from DJ Snake that is very good. When I hit up the big homie John, which, like, he's not Lil? Which one is he?
He probably, his friends probably, he prefers.
To his friends, he is the big homie John.
Yeah.
When I hit up the big homie John and asked him if he wanted to be on the track, this song is a pretty bawling song. He heard the beat and was instantly down with the vision. What he sent me back, though, absolutely blew my mind. I knew John was one of the best, but he absolutely killed it on this joint. I am so glad, again, to kind of revisit Lil Jon, because there's 11 words in this song. Like,
yeah.
Fire up that loud, another round of shots, turn down for what? 12 words. 12 words over and over again. And so you hear that and you're like, wow, Lil Jon really made bank on that, really got the money and ran on this one. But there is no one else. There's no one else who could bring to this song what Lil Jon brought to it. Period. There's not another performing artist alive who could do what he did on this song.
And can I tell you that until you just said those lyrics to me, I only knew the turn down for what part. I heard the word shots in there.
But
I couldn't distinguish anything else.
I thought it was like 5 to 9 and everybody shots. So it was like almost like 9 to 5. But no, it's fire up that loud, another round of shots. That is what Lil Jon sent him back. Lil Jon was like, thank you for the beat. Here's what I have. Fire up that loud. Another round of shots. Turn down for what?
It's good.
And he just sent that, him yelling that in his incredible way about 200 times, which is just precisely what the doctor ordered. That's the lyrics are very good. The beat, the actual instrumentation of the song is also exceptional, because I feel like it's so deeply ingrained in my mind, like I can imagine every sort of movement of trap drums and like synth warbles that happen in sequence. And I feel like despite that, they do hit so right every single time.
Yeah.
From the build up to the sort of climaxes, which is the plural of climax.
Of course.
The message of the song is also so great, I think. Because it's a party jam, right?
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of ways to frame that. And certainly Lil Jon has done a lot of that framing in so many different ways. Shots, 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 everybody. Like, more straightforward, like this, let's party. What this song says is, what possible reason could we have to stop partying?
Yeah.
And it doesn't provide an answer to that rhetorical question. That it might be solvable. Like, turn down for what? What there could be, like, I'm sick. I'm sick today, Lil Jon. And then he would be like, that's okay. You're okay. Griffin is excused. That's his next track. Griffin is excused.
I have terrible news, big homie John. I have terrible news.
Terrible news.
Your car is being towed.
Oh, okay. I will be back in a moment. Turn down for a bit until I go and rectify this. I have to go pick up my kids from soccer practice, turn it down until, let me see, reconvene here at 7:30, and then turn it back up.
At which point the what will be over, and we do not have to turn it down.
So the song is excellent. Gus wants it constantly. When he shouts turn down for what, he only gets like every other word, and it's very
fun. Funny because, and it's really the excitement and the momentum, because he will specifically ask for turn down for what. He will say all of the words in that order, but then when the song is playing and it gets to the point where he can shout that, you could tell he kind of panics.
He panics every single time. It's very good. Song is great. The music video is the stuff of legends.
I don't know that I've seen it.
Okay. I'm going to just put it on the computer in the background.
Okay.
While I continue to talk about it, because it's important. You're just going to have to imagine the song playing. So that's Daniel Kwan.
Oh.
From The Daniels. The Academy Award-winning directors of Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yes.
That's Sunita Mani, who has been in a bunch of stuff. She's in Mr. Robot and Glow and Spirited. She was the Ghost of Christmas Past. She's been in a bunch of stuff. So in this video, Daniel Kwan plays a man who starts out on top of his apartment building. And as the song goes, he humps his way through the through the ground and smashes through every floor using his sort of pelvis as a kind of like, I don't know, like sonic cannon. And he just humps his way through the apartment and makes a big party happen. And soon everybody else starts humping through the ground and smashing through the ground. And it's very powerful and poetic and cartoonishly kind of weirdly horny. It's going to be hard to kind of continue talking while this happens in the background.
Yeah, I think I've seen enough.
So I think it's very good that the Academy Award-winning directors of Everything Everywhere All at Once created and starred in this music video for Turn Down for What. There's a quote from Daniel Kwan who said, "For a while, Daniel and I had been wanting to explore male sexuality in a really weird way. For some reason, our brains came up with this image and this other universe where dudes are so pumped up on their own dicks and they're so into their testosterone that the way that they show that is by breaking shit with their dicks. So whatever happens, that would just be a funny logical progression."
You're really like planting the seeds for the film that they would go on to make. You
yes,
know?
Of course.
Like
absolutely.
This alternate reality where things are ridiculous.
Yeah, there's a big hot dog finger exactly. Energy to the music video. Anyway, that's Turned Down for What. Great song that really has made me appreciate the singular legacy of Lil Jon and DJ Snake. I saw a great story from the 2016 election, I think, or maybe 2020, when someone asked Lil Jon to endorse Trump for president, because I guess he was on Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh, yeah.
And his response was a tweet that just said, "How about fuck no?" It's great. Anyway, can I steal you away?
Yes.
We all got needs. And to satisfy those needs, we subscribe to different services to fulfill those needs. Some of them are pretty dang good at it, if I do say so myself. But then you put away your childish things. You say, I don't have a need for a string cheese subscription service. String
I keep receiving this huge box of string cheese every month and immediately throwing it away.
Yeah.
Maybe I should not receive this huge box of string cheese every month.
But you forget, don't you? So easily.
I know.
Your many subscriptions you've scattered, like Johnny Appleseed to his apple seeds. Well, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. I've used Rocket Money before, and it found, not a joke, maybe 6 things that I had completely forgotten
yeah.
about. Like, maybe about $50 a month worth of shit that I just completely did not know, nor did I interface with the things that I was subscribing to.
Yeah, it's like that. We got that one app that promised to show us hockey and then almost entirely stopped showing us hockey.
Yep. And Rocket Money was like, "You're not watching the hockey anymore. The Blues lost and not in the playoffs." Anyway. Rocket Money is fantastic, and we recommend using it if you think you might have some of those phantom subs. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wonderful. That's rocketmoney.com/wonderful. One last time, rocketmoney.com/wonderful. Folks, I'm recording this ad by myself because Rachel, she did something totally wild. She hopped on her electric e-bike and she was like, I am out of here. And then she zoomed off. She hit a ramp and flew up in the sky like an E.T. movie and just went so fast that I was like, dang, where'd my wife even go? And she yelled from over the horizon on a bike adventure. And so I have to celebrate that. I have to cheer for her on that. This bike that Rachel got from Electric E-Bike, it is one, very sleek and stylish. It looks fast because it is. The battery lasts forever. It shows up at your door, ships for free. It's got a quick toolless assembly, and you can even fold it up for easy travel and storage. It is the perfect time of year to have a sweet little bike for yourself to go on your own bike adventures away from your husband. Anyway, go full throttle into spring with Electric E-Bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com, and please mention that Wonderful sent you in the post-checkout survey. That's electricebikes.com.
You there. Have you considered listening to the Beef and Dairy Network, an award-winning comedy show in the form of a newsletter podcast for the beef and dairy industries? Well, maybe you should. And why don't you try our most recent episode, episode 99, which features American man Paul F. Tompkins playing Queen Elizabeth II's former personal beef sommelier.
Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II and I laying on the floor of her bedroom, helplessly laughing till tears run down our faces as corgis are jumping on us, over us, licking us. That is a day that I will treasure forever until I am executed.
Find the show at MaximumFun.org.
I hope there's beef in heaven.
Hey there, beautiful people. I'm Jarrett Hill.
And I'm Trayvell Anderson. And we want to know, have you ever had mixed feelings about the things that you love?
Ooh, maybe about the things that you hate?
Then Fanti is the show for you. Fanti is the podcast for all those complex and complicado conversations about the gray areas in our lives.
You might have conflicting feelings about Kamala Harris or propaganda or interracial friending.
That's all right, because we do too. And we get into it every single Thursday. Catch this Slayworthy audio at MaximumFun.org. That's MaximumFun.org/Fanti. That's F-A-N-T-I. Come get all this good good.
Or this great gray.
I have my topic for you. Are you ready?
Yes.
My topic this week is the zoo train.
The zoo train?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I guess this is a thing, huh?
This is a thing. Yeah. It was difficult to find like one resource. I literally Googled list of zoo trains. doesn't exist.
Can I say something? This happens on this show sometimes where we become the source. We are the ones who are like, wait a minute, something's happening here. There's trains in a lot of zoos. Now, all of a sudden, we are the Nexus Lexus result when you search for zoo trains. It's like, well, Wonderful did a pretty deep dive on this.
It talked about four zoo trains, so there's got to be at least four.
Okay, it's probably the same four that I'm thinking of, so let's see.
No, there's a lot of zoo trains.
Okay, thank God.
When I was searching for this, it was just, it seemed like the majority of zoos have a train.
I love that. That doesn't make any fucking sense at all. I love it so much.
I think I couldn't really figure out, like, you can Google any number of things. Like, you can find out what the first zoo is or, like, you know, the oldest zoo in this country. But if you Google, like, first zoo train, you will not find anything. So I just thought I would do kind of a smattering of zoo trains.
Yeah.
My experience, of course, began in St. Louis. The St. Louis Zoo Line Railroad, as I knew it, now it is sponsored by Emerson. So it is the Emerson Zoo Line Railroad. But it is a mile and a half around the zoo. And there is a 20 minute little informational speech that happens while you are on it. Like, a little person will sit in the back and will tell you about the zoo and the areas you are going through. And the train can hold like 80 people, and it is a great way to get around.
It is an important way to get around. That's a big zoo to try to traverse by foot.
Yeah, so the St. Louis Zoo is 90 acres, which doesn't even rank it as one of the like five biggest. When I was looking, like the Bronx Zoo is up there. Of course, our zoo here, the Smithsonian. I don't know how exactly they are counting acreage and what makes a big zoo. Like, is it just the land it takes up or the number of exhibits? I don't know. It was difficult for me to determine. But yeah, the St. Louis Zoo train, we took Henry on it once. And it's like... it's like a bonus thing. Like, you go to the zoo to see animals, and then there's also a train to ride.
It's a hat on a hat, and it looks, but that both hats look really good.
And it's a great way to get around. I think, like, the nature of zoo is that you have a lot of, like, open, untree-lined, often concrete area. And in the summer, it is miserable.
So bad.
Get on that train. Now all of a sudden you're on the other side of the zoo and you're a little relaxed.
Our small son went to zoo today, and big son had the opportunity to go to zoo and was like, nope. And I was like, I kind of get it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty hot out there.
It is pretty hot. So I wanted to talk about some zoos, some notable zoos. San Francisco's zoo train, I just wanted to bring it up because they call their train the Little Puffer.
Oh, that's cool.
Which I just love so much. The train itself was purchased in 1925 and installed in the zoo in 1941.
Still going? Still same train?
It went in storage from like 1965 to 1997.
Whoa.
And then was restored. I mean, here's the thing, and this is why a lot of zoos would not have a train or would not continue to have a train. It is expensive to keep up a train.
All that coal?
And zoos, which are focused on animals, not coal. A lot of them are steam.
Okay. Some of them are coal, though, probably. Just like a little kid, like a little soot-stained kid in the
each
front.
Each train has like one coal, like each time, just to get it to go around.
It's just a monkey with a shovel. It's 11. Got a little tin lunchbox with a banana in it.
I wanted to talk about...
Play with me. Play with me.
I feel like I did for a little while with my little one coal.
Okay, fine.
Gets the whole train going.
All right.
There has also been a move to electric trains, which I think is interesting. St. Louis just got one in March 2023. Cincinnati has one now. The focus is to save on fuel and maintenance costs. And Cincinnati gained status as the greenest zoo in America.
Wow.
Which is part of the reason that they took on the electric train. The one I wanted to spend a little time on is the San Antonio Zoo. Now, we have never been there.
No. I've heard good things, though.
Yes. Yeah, it's kind of embarrassing how little we went to San Antonio, considering we were like an hour away.
We went a couple times. It's, you know, it's cool. I genuinely liked San Antonio every time we went there.
I don't think we ever took our children there, though, did we?
Maybe not. Maybe not.
I don't think so. So the San Antonio Zoo has a train. The railroad there was built in 1956, and at the time was the longest miniature railroad in the world. It was formerly known as the Brackenridge Eagle.
Cool. God, trains have the coolest names.
Because it goes around Brackenridge Park. The thing I wanted to talk about is 1970, when this miniature train was robbed at gunpoint.
What?
In 1970, in July, so, you know, we just passed the anniversary, they have what San Antonio calls the Great Little Train Robbery.
Wait, why?
They celebrated every, I'm going to get there. They celebrated every year, which I think is funny because it was an actual crime. Like, these people actually went to prison. But it is like so unusual that they celebrate it as an event every year. And so at this point, it was over 50 years ago. And what happened, so there is a, like a, it's actually a witness testimonial. So the people that were kids at the time were told a newspaper this story of the experience. The person they interviewed, their father was the manager at the like train depot.
Okay.
So they were on the train, like his kids, like the family was on the train. And the train stopped. And then they heard people talking about how the train was being held up while on the train. The robbers, two people wearing masks, one had a gun and the other had a duffel bag. And some people started hopping off the train immediately. We're just like, forget this. I'm out of here.
Yeah, no kidding.
At which point the robbers were like, get back on the train. Because they clearly didn't have a plan.
No. Well, except that they did because they robbed a train. Like,
but anybody that's been on a miniature train knows, like, it's you know, there isn't an elaborate.
You aren't contained.
Sometimes there's like a little chain that hooks onto the side, but there's not a lot of barrier.
What a strange choice.
And then people were just kind of skirting the issue. Like they saw it happening. And so they put stuff in their socks. They took their money out of their wallet. And so by the time the robbers got to them, they like didn't have anything available to the robbers because the robbers were trying to move quickly, just going from like person to person. So yeah. You saw them coming down the way. You were like, oh, I better hide all my stuff. By the time they got there, there wasn't anything to get. So what happened was the person who was being interviewed, her dad, as I mentioned, owned the train or managed the train depot. And one of the guys on the train, like, got on a walkie-talkie radio thing and reached out to her dad and said, there are people robbing the train. And he's like, are you kidding me? Are they armed? And they said, yes. So she said her dad clicked off the radio, opened up a safe, and pulled a gun out. Which they don't explain why somebody managing a zoo train would have a gun.
Yeah, that's another great question. But apparently they knew. They had their suspicions. They knew, like, this would be the perfect crime. I should get strapped. If I were a criminal, I would rob our small train for sure.
At which point this woman's dad told the person he was working with to lock everything down. They're probably going to double back and try to rob the main office here too. By the time he got there, the robbers were already gone, but they did get caught. Apparently, they were soldiers that were stationed nearby at Fort Sam Houston.
Guys.
They got away with about $500 in valuables and cash, but they got caught. And train robbery is a federal crime. So they were given 10 and 20 years in the federal penitentiary because of their train robbery.
That's the wildest crime. It's not the wildest crime, right? There's obviously lots of wild crime stories out there. And speaking from experience, there's very little that is funny about being robbed at gunpoint.
Yes.
But the leaps that someone has to go through to plan this heist and not go, should we maybe do like a building instead? Should we maybe not do?
No.
It might be better. Hey, Rob, I was thinking about this. Maybe we should, you know, do like a room with walls
and
a door and not a big long room with no walls and is in a zoo, in the middle of a zoo. Do you think they just wanted to do a train robbery really bad?
It's very possible. And I mean, here's the thing. It is celebrated now. So apparently this crime marked itself in regional and state history as the first time in 47 years a train had been robbed. And the last known train robbery in the state. So they really, they are lumped in now with all these famous train robbers in history.
But probably not in the way they were hoping they would be.
So apparently it is not unusual for them to celebrate this at the San Antonio Zoo. Recently, zoo employees dressed as bandits once again walked the length of a train holding out a bag, this time asking for donations towards a new train.
That's great.
Part of the reason I thought of this is because I have talked a lot about how I really want the Smithsonian National Zoo to have a train.
Please.
It's too big.
It's not just big, folks. It is angular. It is a downhill jaunt, which then becomes a very rough uphill jaunt.
Yes, there are like two entrances, one at the top of the hill, one at the bottom of the hill. And it seems like if you're going to do the whole zoo, you're going to end up in trouble at some point, either having to spend the whole time going uphill or at the very end having to go uphill to get back to your car.
My strat now, park at the bottom, go up at the very beginning, and then you can just enjoy the zoo.
So I was looking, like, I was Googling, like, Smithsonian Zoo train, ? And what I found was in, and this is an article from 2008, the Smithsonian had a renovation plan that was approved to cost about $1 billion. It was a 20-year plan, so we're not at the end of it yet. It called for a parking garage, which we have not seen yet either. Seven new animal exhibits, new plazas and visitors amenities. And then one of the things in there was an aerial tram.
I was thinking like a funicular of some sort or a something like that. That would be dope.
Part of what was approved was a three-station aerial tram similar to a ski lift that would run the length of the zoo's 163 acres.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Again, this was published in 2008. It's a 20-year plan.
We're getting close.
We're getting close, and I have not even seen signs that this is going to be
constructed.
Please
look forward. Pardon our mess as we make this zoo more traversable.
So I don't know if that's still coming or not, but fingers crossed.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
thank you for your service. I'm going to be thinking about this small train robbery for a very long time.
Yes.
And I was trying to think of like a pun, like a train robbery pun. The best I came up with is 310 to Puma, but I don't think that that's any 310 to Zuma. They might not have Pumas at the San Antonio Zoo is the only issue.
Uh-huh.
And I don't even know if 310 to Yuma has a train robbery in it.
The problem is we don't know a lot of train words.
That's not true.
Okay.
Engine.
Uh-huh.
Rail.
Locomotive is another word.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, there's nothing there. We're standing on the precipice of a comedy void and looking over it saying like we might be the ones to forge.
This is why
this
there's not a lot
pun.
Of train resources on the internet is everybody
they're
sitting trying
funny.
To figure out what to name this website and they've got nothing. And so
Hey, thanks to Bowen and Augustus for the use of our theme song Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. And thank you to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. Go to MaximumFun.org. Check out all the great shows that they have on there. Go to McElroyMerch.com and check out all the hot merch that we've got going on. We got a new Clint the Planeswalking Janitor sticker that is just fantastic. Got some Besties merch coming soon that I'm pretty stoked about, too. I'll show you some roughs for
okay.
it.
Okay.
I think that's just about it. We got some shows coming up. We're going to be in Seattle doing Mabim Bam and Taz during PAX. We're going to be in Philly and then New York around New York Comic Con in October. So you should come see one of those shows. Go to McElroyFamily.com or McElroy.family and you can find links to all that stuff. But till then, thank you for listening to this very standard boilerplate by the numbers.
It's an episode.
It's an episode of Wonderful. This is how it always ends.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.